Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. How wonderful to see all your smiling faces this morning. It's been a great weekend. Spring is definitely here. We're getting our April showers a little earlier than we had hoped. But if you've been watching the news, you've seen that up north they've had a tremendous ice storm. I have relatives up there. They were sending pictures, friends from Gaylord, and inch-thick ice on the trees. So whew, we missed out on that, thankfully. My name is Loretta Job. I am a retired deacon who helps with pastoral care and other mission work here at the church, and it is great to be a part of this congregation who wants to know God, love God, and serve God. We would invite all of you to find ways to participate in those activities. We have lots going on, some of which you've seen scrolling on the screens before the service, some of which are on your connection card, which is you got inside your bulletin. So you can let us know that you're here, fill that out, and maybe check a box and get involved in one of the mission and ministries here at the church. There are also yellow prayer cards in the pew backs. Those are for prayer requests. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, this is a praying congregation, and so the pastors as well as our congregational prayer team will take those prayer requests seriously and include you in their prayers during the week. Today we have Paula Cunningham and Rose Bledsoe here to help with worship. We're going to have a special mission announcement. We've got some special music coming up, so it's going to be a full service. I'm going to start with the announcements. We have a few because it's at one of those busy times of year here at the church with lots going on. So first of all, on April 12th is the Easter egg hunt. It will be here at 10 a.m. and at the Whitmore Lake campus at 1 p.m. Please invite your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, neighbor kids. It is a blast. The kids take over the campus. I think the eggs have been filled. I'm looking for somebody. This week, 2,000 eggs will be filled this week. So you still have a chance. If you haven't brought in that candy, please take a minute to do that and help fill those eggs. Next up after that, which seems really coming up close, is Palm Sunday on April 13th. We will have our regular service schedule for that Sunday, and we will be handing out palms as always. And then Monday, Thursday begins our Holy Week special celebrations on the 17th. The service will be here at 7 p.m. at the Brighton campus. It will be a little different service. We're going to be in the community room. We're going to be celebrating in a way that adds fellowship and is a reminder of the Passover that Jesus would have celebrated with his disciples and friends. Following Monday, Thursday is Good Friday at the 18th. There will be worship at 12 p.m. at the Whitmore Lake campus and 7 p.m. here at the Brighton campus. So you are invited for that. And then, of course, Easter Sunday. We have a slide. For those early birds among us, 7:15 a.m. is the Memorial Garden service, sunrise service. Please come and join in that. Hopefully we won't have our winter coats on this year. We've done it before. And so we invite you to that. And then, of course, 9:15 as usual at the Whitmore Lake campus, 9:30 here and 11 a.m. here. So it will be a busy week. We hope to see lots of you take advantage of these opportunities to be in fellowship and worship as we prepare our hearts and minds to celebrate the great gift of Jesus' resurrection. And lastly, it is time for the spring care packages to go out to our college students. And so if you can donate treats for that, they are collecting those now. Those will be sent out. I believe there are like 8 universities that we cover. Is that, yeah, a lot. So our kids that are away at school are reminded that they are on our hearts and in our prayers, and they get a little sweet treat to go with it. Those are my announcements for this morning, and so we will ask you to please rise and join in our opening hymn, Take Time to Be Holy, 395.
Good morning. Please join me in opening prayer. Lord God, we come together in worship, singing praise to you. Living here is challenging. When we lack faith, lift us up. When we are wrong, help us to forgive. When we are wrong, we pray for mercy. When we lack faith, lift us up. And when we are hurting, bring us loving friends. Help us to discern your love for our lives and give us strength to follow in your ways. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, church. Our congregation is engaged in a number of missions and ministries from all sorts of things, both locally in our community to around the world. And this morning, it is wonderful to have Cedric Gibson come. He's going to share with us a mission moment about the Gleaners Food Bank. So won't you join me in welcoming Cedric up to share with us?
Good morning. You're driving down Dora Road in Howell, and you see a long line of cars wrapped around a building and into the street. What can be so important that people are willing to wait in line for half an hour or longer? And then you notice that it happens every Wednesday and monthly at local schools and churches. It must be important, and you want to know what's going on. It's Gleaners Community Food Bank distributing 2.3 million pounds of food to Livingston County residents in 2024. Wait, what? There can't be that many food insecure people in Livingston County. Gleaners estimates that 8% of Livingston County's 200,000 population is food insecure. It's primarily fixed income adults and young families. You probably know some of these people. Gleaners is a $115 million enterprise that distributes food in the Detroit area, and I'm going to focus on the Livingston County operation. Gleaners secures food from stores, farmers, and the U.S. government that is near the end of its shelf life or is out of date or is out of season. Normally, this food would be thrown away. These fruits and vegetables, meats would just be thrown away. Gleaners also supplies or secures food, non-perishable food, at steep discounts, which it can provide to pantries such as the Fowlerville Family Impact Center for as little as $70 per 1,000 pounds of food. It also relies on donations of food such as that made by this church and local food drives. While these donations are not significant compared to the Gleaners' non-perishable foods, they are highly prized for their name brands and they don't stay on the shelves long. Gleaners distributes food in a number of different ways. Gleaner operates a pantry at its Howell location where people can shop like they're at a store 4 days a week. They also operate an open pantry at the Howell location where people can pick up 35 pounds of fruits, vegetables, bread, and milk in their car. It's typical to have one car after another for the 3 hours the pantry is open. Gleaners also provides food to over 20 other pantries that are run by other organizations. When I first volunteered at the Fowlerville Open Pantry, there were cars lined up for a quarter mile, bumper to bumper, continuously for the 3 hours that we operated the pantry to receive food. In addition, Gleaners also provides food to other food banks, such as Meals on Wheels. Gleaners provides food in a number of different ways. The only requirement is that you're a resident of Livingston County. Gleaners is designed to provide large quantities of surplus food in many different ways to the residents of Livingston County. You can contribute to this effort by either making an online donation or by dropping off non-perishable food at our churches. Your donations would likely be helping someone you know. Oh, if that doesn't pique your interest, Taylor Swift chose Gleaners to make a significant contribution the last time she was in town. Just saying.
The scripture reading is from John 13, verses 34 through 45. If you give a new commandment that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Paula, for reading the gospel lesson for us this morning. Oh, thank you, tech team, for taking such great care of our tech. It was a faulty cord in my pocket, so hopefully we are in good hands. Not the fault of the tech team. They take great care of us. I'm going to touch this microphone now and put it down. All right, there we go. We're coming to the part of the worship where we're thinking about making sense of the Bible, and this is our Lenten study book that we've been doing. Reverend Adam Hamilton, a United Methodist pastor, he's a pastor at our largest United Methodist church that we have out of Kansas City, and Leawood, Kansas City, he is there. Gosh, I don't know, they worship like some 20,000 people a week. It's great, but he's a great author and has written Making Sense of the Bible, which is our Lenten study. And we've been walking through that, hopefully in a small group or by yourself, reading along at home. And we're making sense of these really struggling passages of Scripture and trying to learn more about the New and the Old Testament. So that is where we are at today in worship, if you are joining us as a guest or if you're joining with us online. I'm so glad that you are here. I'm Lindsay Hall, one of the clergy that serves the congregation. It is such a great joy to welcome you today. I would invite you to join me with the spirit of prayer. As we begin our time together, let's pray. O most good and gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that when we mess up and screw up and don't do things right, when we sin or fall off the path that you might have for us, you forgive us and you love us always. God, we seek to be your disciples. We seek to walk in your way. We seek to live the life that Jesus lived. And so, God, encourage us this day to follow you, to hear the call, to be your hands and feet in this world. Oh, loving God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that it would be pleasing in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer, and you, God, who call us your beautiful, beloved children of God. Speak to me and through me. Amen. Well, if you are a Brighton school kid, this week it has been spring break. Maybe there's been some fun spring break trips happening this week. And for my kids, we had a little bit of a fun staycation. There was some water park adventures and some movies and some extra trips to get ice cream and some fun little things. And this week, John and I, Pastor John, my husband John and I were thinking about another fun little adventure we wanted to do with the kids. And so we thought, well, let's load up the van and let's head over to Detroit and let's go walk through the zoo and, you know, see the animals, and that'll be a great adventure. And then Michigan weather did its thing and it rained on us. We decided, nah, let's not do that. But what are some other fun, wonderful things to do in our great state? And so we ventured over to the Henry Ford Museum over in Dearborn. Have you been there before? Our congregation likes to go over in December sometime when we sing as a part of the Holiday Nights adventure and we walk around the Greenfield Village. Well, it was raining, so we bypassed that, but we headed on inside to the Great Museum. My kids are our elementary kids, a first grader and a third grader, and so they were excited to get the printed map and orient themselves and start off on some wonderful adventures. My daughter quickly grabbed a map and was with me, and like kids do, they kind of boom in different directions. And so I started walking with my daughter, and John started walking with our son, and he was heading over towards like the airplanes and the cars. And as my daughter was looking at the map, she was trying to figure out what she wanted to go explore. Well, Lydia, there's this we could see, or there's that we could see, or there's the bus that we could see. Would you like to go see the bus? Yeah, she would. Do you know the bus I'm talking about? Absolutely. So off we head. We went to the Rosa Parks bus. As we're walking into the civil rights area, into that part of the museum, we make our way in, and it's quite crowded. We walk into the section, and something catches her eye, and she wonders what that is.
She notices that there's a picture in the display, and there's a black man there, and he's near a tree. He's hanging from a tree, she notices. There's a rope around his neck. She's trying to understand what that is. She's noticing the clothing that is in this display case, and it's a white robe and a white hat, mask kind of thing, and she's curious about it. And we have a conversation. I explain that this is some Ku Klux Klan clothing, and we talk about what that is. And I see her face start to go from a happy, smiling, excited to explore the museum to a very serious, very somber experience. We talk about what that means, what the clothing was, and we make our way on into that museum, trying to understand what is racism, and trying to understand why would somebody put another person's life to death by hanging them on a tree. She's 7, having very important conversations. We make our way over to the Rosa Parks bus, and if you've seen it, it's this great 1950s bus. It's orange, yellow and green, I guess it is. And we make our way, and we enter the bus, and we head on in there where there's a docent speaking. As my daughter and I are listening, we turn our attention over to seat number 2, the second seat there. That is the seat where some great history took place. I want you to imagine that it's December 1st, 1955, and there's this wonderful woman. Her name is Rosa. She's a seamstress. She's 42, just a few months older than I am right now, so she's relatively a young person, I'd like to claim. It's December 1st, and she boards that bus after working a hard day of work, 1955. She does the appropriate thing that she's told to do. She sits in the section of the bus that is labeled for people of color, and the section then is segregated. There's a section that's labeled for white people. So I'm visiting with my daughter, and we're talking about how once upon a time, there was a time when the buses were segregated like that. She's trying to process that. She looks over to seat number 2. Parks, Rosa is sitting there after a long day, hard day of work, and pretty soon the section that's intended for white people starts to fill up, and now she and a few others are asked to stand, that they might make space for some white folks to sit. What did she do? She continued sitting that day. That December 1st, 1955, she sat, and she was arrested, and we know part of the story, if I can remind you of part of the story. It sparked the Montgomery bus boycott. For 381 days, folks refused to ride those buses. Walking to work, walking to school, walking to wherever you needed to go was part of that story for 381 days. The efforts was led by Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. until we finally made some change. She was curious, my daughter, about that right robe. She was curious about the bus. She was curious about what was taking place in that part of the Henry Ford Museum. If you haven't had a chance to go, oh man, I would encourage you to head to Henry Ford. It's gonna rain today, I think, so it's a great day to just walk around and learn and remember some of our history. Parts of the history that for many people make them feel uncomfortable, doesn't it? And it's important history that we remember, that we talk about. And then we remember as people of faith, what are we supposed to do with this history? For far too long, a number of scripture passages have almost been used like a weapon to hurt people. Have you ever experienced that being done, where people have taken scripture passages and use them in a way to hurt others? Have you had that experience before? For a long time, slavery was an approved, okay, part of life. It was a part of our history. And folks would turn to scripture passages like Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, and they would say, "Slaves, obey your master." How do we take beautiful sacred scriptures and use them to hurt people? It's a mystery to me. There's also wonderful passages and stories in the scripture. If you were to open up, and here's your homework assignment this week, open up Exodus. It's part of the Pentateuch, part of the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Open up Exodus this week and start reading the story of somebody called Moses. You're gonna hear his story, how he's pulled from the water. You're gonna hear his story about he encounters God at a burning bush and he receives this call, and you're gonna read Moses' story. And he sees the slaves in Egypt, the people there in Egypt were enslaved, and God tugs on his heart and has a tremendous call for him to go up against Pharaoh to say, "Let the people go." If Moses' story is one that you're not familiar with, I hope that you'll take some time this week to read through Exodus. Story of freeing those slaves. When we turn to the Gospel of John that Paula read for us this morning, we find another story. Jesus, who spent his 3 years of ministry loving and caring and teaching and preaching, finds himself now, we find ourselves in the story of John that Paula read for us. It's the 13th chapter. And we find ourselves with Jesus, and it's the what we would call Holy Week. They're celebrating the Passover. Jesus is gathered with his disciples in the upper room, and they're celebrating the Passover. Remember what the Passover is all about? They're remembering the story of the people, the Israelites, how they were led from slavery in Egypt. They're remembering the story of freedom. And the Passover there, they're breaking bread, and they're remembering, once a slave people are now a freed people. They're remembering their story. And there at the upper room that evening, Jesus is with his disciples. He's washing their feet. They're breaking bread. They're having conversation. They're dialoguing back and forth. And Jesus, who gave us a model of way of life to love our neighbor and to care for one another, he says these words. Paula read them for us. I want us to hear them again. It's the 34th and the 34th verse here. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so must you love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus gives us this call. Scripture says actually a command. Jesus gives us this command to love one another. As we're trying to make sense of the Bible, as we're trying to make sense of the stories of Scripture, I like to say one of the best ways to begin to make sense of it is to start reading it. Maybe you want to start reading through Exodus this week. Maybe you want to read through John. What else was going on in this Gospel of John? And read a little bit before it. Read the chapters, the 12 chapters before it, and read that story of the Passover where Jesus is there and he gives us this command. And read and find out what happens later. And read and discover, who is this Jesus that calls us to love God, that calls us to love our neighbor, that calls us to work for peace in this world, that calls us to care for the least and the lost and the last, that calls us to get up and go donate to Gleaners Community Food Bank and fill those hungry stomachs? We make sense of Scripture when we begin to read it as a whole, not just plucking little scriptures here and there that have been used to hurt people or harm people or almost use it as a weapon. But when we see the whole totality of scripture, we see that it is a story of the people of God wandering here and there, not always quite making it right. And then we encounter the living Christ who loves us always, no matter what, how many times we've screwed up or gotten it right. He continues to love us again and again and emphasizes love God and love neighbor, love God and love neighbor. A new command I give you, you'll know. I'm forgetting the words, I have to write it here. A new command I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. And by this, everyone, you'll know my disciples. You're my disciples if you have love for one another. Church, as I look around the room and online, that I can't see those people, but I know you're there. As I look around the room, there are so many hands and so many hearts that can be a part of sharing God's love in this world. How are you going to use your hands this week to make a difference? How are you going to use your hearts of caring to show that you're a disciple of Jesus, not only in what you believe, but in how you live it out? They'll know we are his followers by sharing that love with this world. And may we seek to live and walk as people, not hurting one another, but finding ways to live the gospel in Jesus' name, the gospel of love and care and peace and compassion. Let's pray. Oh, most loving God, oh, the scriptures are complex. Thank goodness we have a lifetime to continue studying and asking questions and trying to figure things out. Thank you for giving us the gift of one another, of church, community, and life, that we don't have to do this life by ourselves. We don't have to try to figure out this faith by ourselves, that we have one another. Give us curious minds to keep asking questions. Give us curious minds to keep wrestling. And then, Lord, give us willing hands and open hearts to love and to serve in your name. In Christ's holy name, amen.
And my disgrace, the home I overcome.
Thank you, gentlemen. I would like to share, Carolyn Combs emailed me this morning, and she reported that Abigail Circle raised more than $900 at their spaghetti dinner last night. So, good for them. Well, by this time, we've all adjusted to daylight saving time and the fact that winter doesn't really want to leave us. But we thank God that spring is still trying to push its way through. It puts me in mind of a story one of my coworkers told about her youngest son trying to make his mark in his little world. She said the little one came crying to her, saying that the middle brother had pushed him down. She asked the middle boy, "Did you push your little brother down?" To which he replied, "But he hit me." When she looked at the little one and asked, "Is this true?" He said, "Well, yeah, but I'm too little to know better." Not anymore. As the old saying goes, when push comes to shove, we know spring will eventually emerge with the glorious colors of tulips and heavenly fragrance of apple blossoms, the sounds of the birds, and I actually had to dodge several squirrels trying to drive into town today because they thought it was appropriate to cross the road in front of me. We will soon enough, though, complain of the heat instead of the cold, but try to remember that each day is a gift. Today's prayer quilts are dedicated with love to Shannon Bledsoe, my daughter-in-law, who has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and to Sharon Smith. As you leave the sanctuary, please stop and tie a knot as you say a prayer for healing and acceptance. Gracious God, we gather in your name to share worship and fellowship. You are the one who breathes life into our souls. You are our strength when we face the challenges that always come. You are the force that connects all living things. And you are the love that can bridge all cultures. Help us to actively display and pursue that love in the face of so much hatred and dissension. Help us to respect this beautiful earth that you created for us, where the water flows and the harvest of abundant nature provide the very nutrients essential to our survival. Remind us to take no more than we need, so that the earth may replenish itself and provide healthy nurture for generations to come. Help us to respect that we are different, yet the same, all creatures of your love. And help us to appreciate the gifts each has to offer. For the victims of Mandalay's earthquake, we pray for support and recovery. For the fires in the Carolinas, we pray for containment and safety. For the tragedies in Ukraine and Gaza, we pray for relief and peace. We also bring to you this morning the burdens of our souls, and we trust that you know what we carry in our hearts. We ask humbly that you hear our silent prayers of confession, concern, and celebration. We pray that all who witness our daily actions will see the light of your Spirit shining through us. We pray for the lost and broken, merciful God. And we pray for our children and grandchildren, that they may inherit a decent and habitable world. Let us join now together in the Lord's Prayer, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we've come to our time of offering, I want to remind you all that if you are a guest here today, if this is your first time visiting with us or you are new to our congregation, your presence is a gift that you have given us already. And so we thank you for being here. We thank you for joining in your voice and heart and soul with our worship here today. I also want to let you know that there are some special envelopes in the pew back rows. It doesn't look all that special. It's just white. But inside you'll see a list of all the designated giving, and there's a space for other. And today I'd like to ask that other would be considered to be UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief. It is the mission outreach of the whole United Methodist Church. They are involved in disaster response. They are usually the first ones on the ground in fires, earthquakes, floods. Whatever is happening, the United Methodist Church is there to bring relief and support and care. And so we would thank you for any chance, any thing that you can give to help them do the work that is so desperately needed in this world. The ushers, please come forward. Thank you.
always found it an interesting thing that with preaching, it sort of is a one-way conversation. But I like two-way conversations. So my hope is that if I've said something today to spark a curiosity or a question, or if I've said something today to encourage you, or if I've said something today to infuriate you, I hope that we could have a conversation. My door is open. My phone line's available. I would love to visit more. That's my first hope. My second hope is that when you head into the community room to get your coffee and your wonderful refreshments, I hope you'll mix and talk with each other. I'd be curious to overhear some conversations. This is my hope. I would love for you to talk with one another about what is a favorite scripture verse of yours, or a favorite Bible story of yours, and then what is a story in the scriptures that just really makes you scratch your head because you don't understand it? And maybe in dialoguing and connecting with each other over coffee and cookies, you're going to start to make sense of the scriptures together. Or maybe you'll discover more questions you want to try to figure out. So my door's open, and I hope you'll be chatting with each other. May you go forth with the love of God in your hearts, the peace of Jesus always with you, and the power of the Holy Spirit helping you to live your faith in the world and to love as Jesus does. Go in peace this day. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.